before I start here, I should say, so that I don't get eggs and tomatoes and things chucked at me, that I in no way am endorsing or condoning the actions of the North Korean regime or Kim Jong-un or his associates. But what I'll do is try and outline in three basic areas why I think recognition of North Korea as a nuclear power might be the most productive way forward. First is essentially history, and it relates to Korean identity. And so it also relates to the balance of power around that identity of the other states which interact with Korea. We go all the way back to kind of 1895-96, the first Sino-Japanese War, which was fought over Korea. And then after that, the colonization of Korea by Japan, and then the partition of Korea at the end of World War II, whereby Stalin's Soviet Union kind of came down one end of the peninsula, US-led Allied troops eventually came from the south at the other end, and we now have this demarcation zone, right, partitioning the peninsula into north and southern halves. And then beyond that, it was because of that status quo, where you have a northern half which becomes aligned with what go on to be the communist powers of the Cold War versus a southern half aligned with what goes on to be the capitalist, if you like, the US-led sphere of influence. You then fall into this trap of having two Koreas, and you end up with a Korean War, which is basically a proxy war, whereby the great powers use both sides of the Korean Peninsula to fight out a war which involves avoiding direct conflict between the likes of the Soviet Union and the United States, and later China. And the role of China in that war, in committing far more than the Soviet Union did, in terms of committing masses of manpower, masses of troops, to fight against the American-led UN forces over the border, over the Yalu River, to push the United States and the UN forces back down the Korean Peninsula and return it to the partition zone. That plays a very powerful ideological role in shaping particularly North Korean identity and China's relationship to the peninsula, all of which play into the present day nuclear situation. So this is what's led to North Korea effectively being a buffer state. And as a buffer state, what we want to see is not necessarily the implosion of that state, but a transition to something more conducive to better relations on the peninsula, and more conducive to a more robust and well-established Korea more generally. So that history links directly to the theoretical side of this. And those of you that study international relations will know that we focus mostly on realist and liberal, neo-realist and neoliberal approaches. Those of you that don't do international relations will still be aware that you can talk of kind of disincentives and incentives. And if we take the realist side, if you like, the disincentive, this is about understanding that all states are nominally, at least, rational actors. And so they will act out of self-interest and self-preservation. And in order to sustain that, they will first look to maintain the survival of the state itself. So nuclear weapons provide that guarantee. If you have an uncertain situation regarding whether a nuclear capability is there or not, it creates uncertainty in what is regarded as the balance of power. In other words, you don't know what the capabilities of that state are to protect itself. Whereas if you recognize a state as a nuclear power, it automatically, by default, assigns a certain level of deterrent to that state. So through recognition, it would create a balance of power, in one sense, under a realist framework. If we look at the liberal side of this, the alternative to this, we also see good reasons for recognition. That's because neoliberalism, or liberalism more generally, is about integration, it's about exchanges, it's about the use of cooperation for mutual gain. So in other words, it's about engagement with a particular state. So if you have that balance of power established, and then you engage with that state, you're able to build economic relations, which then translate eventually into the political and social sphere. So that would also have a potential for major and substantial improvement to the current situation. And then finally, I'm kind of zooming through major parts of this, but finally I would suggest that there is a humanitarian aspect to this. And I think many of you may be thinking, or certainly generally if you look at mainstream media, there's a sort of attack on North Korea for being this pariah state, for being a state which abuses human rights, which disregards its own people. That may be true, but the question should surely be, how do we improve the situation in North Korea, rather than how do we punish Kim Jong-un and his regime for doing what they've done? I would suggest that the former is far more important in the general scale of things and in terms of human security. And I don't think that, for example, a preemptive strike on North Korea would be productive in terms of alleviating that humanitarian situation within North Korea. More effective would be, once again, to recognize the legitimacy of the regime and then, through piecemeal, incremental change, engage with and encourage economic, social, and political developments. That has a far more established track record, and the variables, if you like, looking at that side of the coin, have a more positive prognosis than the potential kind of descent into outright conflict and nuclear war, which is far more likely as long as we go on guessing whether or not nuclear capability or what nuclear capability North Korea in fact has and how it may use it. That is a far more dangerous game to play, and one which I think creates instability in the region and therefore by default across the globe.
Thank you very much.
Well, that was probably more thought out than what I'm going to say. But when I think of matters such as nuclear proliferation, kind of my immediate skepticism is the dominant discourse, and that's kind of the route I try and take. As trying to be critical, might not be very pragmatic in the same sense, but I think I ultimately agree with what you're saying about that. It's probably the way to go forward, considering them as a nuclear power. The one question I really have or issue is when framing the question, why should we recognize North Korea as a nuclear power, it kind of feeds into a meta-narrative of the US, because the US developed nuclear technology, it's their almost brainchild. So it's almost as though America is the dominant hegemonic state, are kind of defining how the game works. And with that comes problems, and especially when you have states engaging into this new technology which can commit hideous war crimes, and look at Japan, it creates problems. And I guess the issue to encouraging more people engaging in this practice is it does create more variables, and those are harder to quantify, both socially and numerically. So I kind of, the Noam Chomsky in me, makes me want to really consider the role of American hegemony in this and post-colonial arguments as well. And you touched upon that, talking about the 38th parallel. Because as we know, that was, I think, is it the only example of a UN invasion, kind of realistically, where they actually aggressively pushed past, kind of did a counter-offensive. I think what is lacking both in the media and in some academic discourses as well is a deeper cultural, social, and structural understanding of the elements at play. But you obviously then did consider those. But I just feel I'm more hesitant to go either way because I feel there's too much unknown. And there's a part of me that says if we say nuclear weapons are the ultimate goal to creating peace and diplomacy, if we know that and that doesn't change things, why aren't we aspiring to that now rather than waiting till they get nuclear weapons? Now, obviously, that isn't all America's fault. It isn't all, in this case, Britain. North Korea has a part to play in that as well. But as we know, they're quite an isolationist state. So I would ultimately lean with what you're saying. But at the same time, I have doubts. And I guess that's where it could lead to other people getting involved. I don't know. I'm more scared of nuclear weapons than maybe neo-realists such as Kenneth Waltz might have been. I feel at the end of the day there's someone with a finger on a button and they can just press it. And that's what's known as mutually assured destruction. And then, you know, rational deterrence theory would say, well, no, that's not going to happen because they're rational actors. But I don't know, I've seen the new change in politics internationally and the change in media as well. If we look at the role of Twitter, you know, it changes how society is functioning, and maybe this might impact theories such as these.
Thank you, Luke.